Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Today's share is sponsored by the Honig family, Zecher Nishmas Azriel ben Ari HaKohen, and Shamash Haven Aliyah. I think today's topic is a very relevant topic for everybody in this room. Whether you're somebody who's planning on making a Siyum sometime soon, which Baruch Hashem looks like there are some people here, or even if you're not planning on making a Siyum, but one could attend Siyumim. And today's share, we hope to give guidelines, halakhic guidelines, for this process of a Siyum. The impetus for the share, a month from today, is scheduled. The Agudas Yisrael of America organizes a big Siyum here in America for the Daf Yomi Siyum HaShas. And as they did last time, but now beyond that, last time they rented out the biggest stadium in the tri-state area, the MetLife Stadium. It's a football stadium with all the seats that they have actually on the field. You can sit on the 50-yard line. They accommodate inside the stadium 90,000 people.
Wow.
7.5 years ago, in fact, I was there. The pretty good seats. They had 90,000 people.
The weather was good.
It was in the middle of the summer. Actually, it was raining the entire day. And literally, moments before the Siyum began, it stopped raining. Obviously, divine hashkacha. It was a beautiful sunset. Everyone remembers by that stadium. Amazing. One guy in a Jets jersey. Won't forget that either. This time around, Agoda now has rented out two venues. MetLife Stadium, as well as in Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn, the Barclay Center. So together, these two venues, Agoda is expecting live participation at the site of the Siyum, well beyond 100,000 people. 100,000 Jewish people come together to celebrate the milestone of Siyum HaShas, of Daf Yomi, but really celebrating Torah learning in general. An amazing event. I actually know of some people in this room who are flying out to the Siyum to be there. It is a big event. People are flying in from all over the country to be there. We'll talk in this neighborhood, in Florida, in South Florida. There's two events. There's one on January 1st in Boca, one on the following Sunday at Signature Grand. So Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of ways to connect with this amazing, amazing Siyum. Similarly, just a month later from that, in February, the Dirshu organization. Dirshu is an organization, some people know them famously for their Mishnah Berurah. But Dirshu is an organization that started over 10 years ago, which helps promote Limud HaTorah. And they do a lot of wonderful things. One of the things they do is they offer tests with monetary incentives on all aspects of learning. Tests on Gemara, so someone learning Daf Yomi, to master the material, there are tests that one could take. They have a program to encourage people learning daily learning in Halacha, Mishnah Berurah, and also they have tests. I was talking to one of my friends, he said, Baruch Hashem, he made some good money off constantly taking tests. And their idea is to promote Limud HaTorah. So they're also having a gathering to commemorate all that's going on in the Torah learning in the Jewish world. They're up to their third venue already. They're, granted, not as big as the Daf Yomi Siyum, but they already rented out three different places in Newark, New Jersey. There's the Hockey Prudential Center. There's two other spots, actually, convention halls, an art, performance art center, all right over there in walking distance in Newark, New Jersey. They're going to have three different venues for their event. So what you see is, Baruch Hashem, there are so many Jews all over the world, especially a lot over here in America, who've gotten involved in daily learning programs. And really what we'll see, part of these big, grandiose, major siyums, you know, bringing in the biggest speakers and performances, really the purpose of making such a grand siyum is to encourage other people to join along, come along for the ride. And that itself is amazing, amazing means to spread Torah. When you see a big, everyone coming together, when you see how much it's honored, you know, till now, who's on the field, the gridiron heroes? But people come together and Limud HaTorah, who's going to be on the field? Will be Yemosa Mashiach, will be the Rabbanim, the Gedolim. They're going to be sitting there on the field just the day before, a few days before, playing football there. Maybe not by that time of the season. But, and then you have Gedolim sitting there on the field, an amazing sight to see. And it encourages a lot of people, whatever they can, to get involved in consistent daily learning. So what we want to do in today's share is analyze different aspects of the Siyum, understand the Siyum, and this way, for sure, if we participate, but so too, perhaps we'll be inspired to start some small daily learning experience, and this way, work your way to having a Siyum. Now, I really found a lot of, so much on this topic of a Siyum. Like many topics, I could break it into multiple shiurim. Just Friday night, one of my dear neighbors, I told him he has a good library. So I asked if he had this certain sefer about Siyums. Taka, he had it. This entire sefer is all about the inyan of having a Siyum, going through many different things in halacha. I have multiple other svarim I went through. All talk about the concept. Now, the basis of having a Siyum and celebrating Limud HaTorah when one completes something is based on a Gemara in Shabbos. It's on top of your sheets. Gemara in Shabbos is Kuf Yud Ches Amun Beis. Amar Abaye. When I see a Talmud Chacham, the Shalom Mesechta, who finished a Mesechta of Gemara, Avdino Yomatuva L'Rabbanan. So I'll make a whole celebration, literally a yontif, for the rabbis. Abaye, the Gemara tells us, this is the great, you know, Ravan Abaye, when he saw, Rashi explains, Abaye himself was a Rosh Yeshiva, he had his own yeshiva, and when he saw students, Talmidim, who finished the Masechta, he would make a party for them. It's interesting. So the first thing you see straight from the Gemara is the concept of celebrating a Siyum. You also see that the person setting up the Siyum is an admirer, is somebody else. Abaye admired the fact that his students completed something. So thus, he made a party for them. There's an inyan, there's a concept that one should celebrate in a wonderful fashion. They call it a yontif. When someone completes something, it's a big achievement, and it should be focused on, lauded, praised. The Marshal over here makes another point, which is amazing. It's mashma from this Gemara that he didn't just make, you know, you finished Masechta, so I'll take you out to grill time. I'll take you out to a nice fancy restaurant. It's not a singular celebration. It's mashma from this Gemara that the celebration was Avdini Yom HaTuva L'Rabbanan. When he saw one individual Talmud complete and make an accomplishment of a Siyum, he made a party, a celebration for everybody. Everybody's joining in. Everyone's a part of the Siyam. What's the reasoning for that? So the Marsha on this Gemara, it's about the third line, he says, of Yidin Yom HaTuva L'chol Rabbanim, Abayi made a party, a celebration for all the students. Ki ilu chazinim dekulu lomdu bishleimos atziyuma. As if they all learned this topic, this mesachta, till the end. One guy made the siyum. But the celebration is for everybody in the yeshiva. Everybody in the Beis Medrash. Why? Marshall says, because it's ki'ilu, it's as if everyone finished. Now we know we should be in good company, people who make a siyum, right? Baruch Hashem, if there are people in this room who make a siyum, it's everyone's celebration. I want to get everyone nervous, I have to invite everybody to the siyum. We'll talk about that. But the Marsha is telling us when one person in the Beis Medrash, one person in yeshiva, makes a siyum, it's a celebration for everybody. It's as if everybody did it. That's the reasoning behind it. Abayi made a party for everyone because everyone has a chiluk in it. Everyone's connected with that siyum. How do you explain that? One guy finished. What does that have to do with everybody else? So I heard from my Rebbe, Reb Henoch Leibowitz, that he said, the pshat is, because people don't operate in a vacuum. For someone to complete something, to go through a mesechta, learning is hard. And you need encouragement. Sometimes even verbal encouragement. But many times, all that you need is just, doesn't have to be verbal. You have other people around you learning. You know? When you go to an event and you see somebody else, oh, he's also learning Daf Yomi. Oh, he's also part of a share. That's mechazik, that gives strength to each other. And Reb Henoch said, that's pshat, why everyone has a chelek in a siyum. Because everyone gives moral support to the people around them when they learn. And therefore, their success, in part, is your success. And therefore, you deserve to be there too. Amazing idea. Right? Perhaps, you know, this is in terms of the learning. Right? Maybe they shouldn't just have Siyums in MetLife Stadium. Maybe we should have learning events there. I think Citi Field, they have something there. But Lamaisa, when people learn together, here in a big base Medrash, in B'nai Brak, everyone encourages each other. The crowd, the ruach, the spirit. And therefore, everyone has some chelak, some part in his accomplishment. Now, this idea of the Gemara and the Marsha is codified, lahalacha, by the Marshal. Marshal in the Sefer Yamshel Shlomo, at the end of Perek Merubah, the seventh Perek in Baba Kama, brings down this Gemara, it's the second Mara Malkam in your sheets. On the third line, he writes, Mikan, from this Gemara in Shabbos, Nogu Kol Yisrael, it's a minog in all of Judaism, L'sayim B'Shmaitza, to make a siyum when they finish their learning, V'litun Shevach V'odah L'Mako. Part of the siyum is a Thanksgiving feast. You're giving praise to Hashem that you were able to complete this. Ulfarsim Oso Simcha. We're getting close to Hanukkah. There's an idea that you should make a siyum in a broad fashion. You should be mefarsim it. Put an ad in the newspaper. I'm making a siyum. Just like there's a concept by Hanukkah, Persume Nisa, he's supposed to spread the nes. When someone has an accomplishment, now we know there's also humility is a big Indian in Judaism, right? Anava is a very important midah. But it seems from this marshal, the reason to spread it, the reason to be mefarsim it, is because of the fact it will encourage others to do the same. So when a person makes a siyum, the marshal is telling us, well, farsim also simcha. You should spread that simcha. Shazach l'kach, you were fortunate to achieve this. Sha'osin suda b'esrim assignment. And therefore you should make a su'uda, make a meal at the time you're finishing. That's what the Marshal writes. He says a little bit later, even someone who didn't finish the Masechta, based on all this whole Gemara, mitzvah rabba, she yismach in the Messiah. It's a big mitzvah to be involved with one who finishes it. Finishing itself, we celebrate. He goes through other Gemaras. When a person would finish a mitzvah, that itself is a cause of a celebration. Right? You know, imagine people, I think people feel the simcha by the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer. Right? So, people sometimes miss the count today, this. Imagine you have a year, thumbs up, every single night you counted. At the end of Sfiras HaOmer, you feel good. Wow, what an accomplishment. I actually made all 49 nights. It was great. There's a certain simcha you have when you finish a mitzvah. Well, even the Masechta has less than 49 blot, and it took you less than 49 days in the Daf Yomi cycle. But you know what? That's an accomplishment. That's something. And there's a certain simcha that a person has. If you have it by a regular mitzvah, it's a kavah chomer by the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is the greatest of mitzvahs. So it's a tremendous simcha for the person who does, who accomplishes the siyum, but it's also a big mitzvah for anyone who comes to it too. Right? You have the chance to go to a siyum, it's a big deal. I saw one of my svarim that I had, they had multiple questions that they asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky about siyums. So one of the questions they asked was, if a person has a choice one night, can only make one event, he either go to a bar mitzvah or a siyum, which one should he go to? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky said, flip a coin. You go to either of the two, because they're really the same concept, the same inyan. It's celebrating Torah. I guess one's on the front end of the Torah, one's on the back end, one you're starting, one you're finishing. But it's a celebration of Torah, a wonderful thing. And someone who has the ability to go to a siyum, a wonderful, wonderful event. I have a feeling after today's share, some people might be inspired. Who knows, by next week, we can have siyums right here. Now, so that's the basic makaros, the basic sources for celebrating a siyum. It's the Gemara and Shabbos and the Yom Shel Shlomo over here at the end of Baba Kama, 7th Perek. Now, if you think about it, where is a siyum very prominent in our, I guess, cycle of life? So there's three, I think, areas people have siyums. Other than, you know, yeshiva bachurim or individuals who have, or learning through something, three major points people make siyums. Number one is Erev Pesach. Right? We know that in Erev Pesach, there's a chiv to fast if you're a bachur. I know that quite well. And one way which is commonly done to override it is by making a siyum. The understanding is, really it should be a fast day. There's an inyan to fast for a bachur. Otherwise, it would have been the bachurim were passed over on the yontif of Pesach. And by making a siyum, one exempts oneself. There's so much simcha, there's so much enjoyment, happiness of the fact that they finished something, that that exempts one from fasting. You similarly have that concept by a yahrzeit. Really, it's brought down in halacha that the day that one's parents passed away, there's a concept of fasting that day. And there are many, I know of people, that the day of a parent's yahrzeit, they actually fast. Now, Hasidisha circles and spread all over, right? There's an idea of tikkun, right? All you have to do is bring in some schnapps and some kichel, cake, you're all good, right? Tikkun. But really, you know, we should go, these halachas, right? There's an inyan of fasting on by a yahrzeit. But again, There too, you find people that dafka make a siyum on the yahrzeit. That itself, obviously, is a tremendous schus for the nifter if you're doing a siyum or zecha nishmas then. But with that, the fact that you're making a siyum, it's a day of simcha for you in that sense. So that also would exempt one from fasting. So that's another area, siyum b'charim and a yahrzeit.
It's a concept specifically for the first year to make a siyum because it's the first day that you can have a big party.
Very interesting point. You're right. Some people do it specifically the first year because as you finish, right, that's the first time you could go to that. You know, this ties me into last week's share, right? We talked about, you know, different social engagements to go to, right? Not so simple during the year of that one's in mourning, so the 12 months for a parent, to go to a siyum, to go to a suda, so suda's mereyas, a friendly suda. Yeah, not so simple. Now, there's one other area where siyum come up in the normal cycle. That's during the 9 days. In the Ashkenazic world, where one has to refrain from eating meat for a whole 9 days, it's not really 9 days because you have Shabbos in between. But the big deal, there's no meat. So one way, I don't want to use the words around it, is if a person makes a siyum. Now we'll see, this area sometimes is quite overdone. And, you know, we'll see. I remember as a kid, back in Brooklyn, there was a restaurant that was advertising, "We're open during the 9 days, every night I see him." Boy, oh boy, they know how to get drum up business. You know, they hire a guy to make a see him each day, and the restaurant's packed. Right? Yeah. He says the big restaurants have multiple see-ems going on a night. The early crowd, the late crowd. Yeah. Yeah, they serve Mizonos rolls too. I'll tell you what else they have over there. But okay. So if you look in the middle of your sheets, I brought down the Shulchan Aruch. This is in Hilchos Avelos, Simen Tov Kuf Nun Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Uvesudas mitzvah, kigol mila, upidjin aben, v'siyam esachta, Vesudas erisin, Vesudas mitzvah, abris, pidjin aben, a wedding, or a siyum. Ochlim basav v'shosim yayin. One can eat meat and drink wine. Hashachan masuda. Aval yish atzam shish lo hosef. Yeah, one could do this even during the 9 days, the Ramah writes. But the Mishnah Berurah cautions us with a few things. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he writes, Mekol makol. Im lo nizdamim b'limudo ha-siyum. If it's really, you're not like on track to make a siyum. Don't try to speed up or don't try to delay. You really could have made a siyum in June. But you know what? I'm going to hold in my back pocket. Come the 9 days, I'm going to be the biggest boss in camp. Everyone's going to be so, wow, you're the guy who lets all eat meat. Shh. I'll be the toast of the town. So the Mishnah Berurah is saying, you can't do that. It has to be that you're really actually finishing it during the 9 days. On top of that, he also writes, "Vim gam im lo yahaya osa suda b'shar yamim, efshur shiyasen gamata." That's a big line. If you're the guy, when you make a siyum, you pull out a bag of potato chips and a few, you know, Oreo, maybe a strimal cookie or two. That's your normal siyum. Oh, but when you do it in the summer, somehow the camp is pulling out steaks for the whole, you know, place. You don't normally make such a suda. Now, because of the 9 days, now you're going to celebrate even better? Chafetz Chaim says, that's a no-no. You got to be consistent. Achein, in this daman karoi, if this is the normal pace, this is where you're up to. Mutarin lecho af osa shalom d'imayim. There'll be mutar for you to eat by a siyum, not just you, but also friends with you. Im hayahochin boim gamiz mana achem ishim reyes. If they're the type of friends who normally would come otherwise to your siyum. Now,
does he feel similarly about Erev Pesach?
Yeah, I was thinking.
Good point.
How did he get out of Pesach? I'm not going to ask about the
Erev. Yeah.
Erev,
so, I assume what people are bringing up, I assume is the last line of the Mishnah Berurah. who really is part of the Siyum? Who really gets in? And I've heard over the years in different camps, every camp, Baruch Hashem, every nice Jewish camp usually has a Mara D'Asra, a Rav, a Posek, who's in charge of that camp. And the different camps do have different policies. But for example, in camps, they are a matter that if one person in the camp makes a Siyum, they usually would allow everybody in the camp to join in. They're a part of it. And certainly, you know, let's say in a shul, same type of scenario. Let's say, you know, one person in a shul makes a siyum. So yeah, everybody in the shul could participate in that. It's all part of a shul. You know, the concept of being part of a shul, this is something we always rant about every so often. Baruch Hashem, in this community, I think for the most part, right, people are parts of shuls and they'll daven, you know, in places they're accustomed to. In some, you know, communities, they have what you call minyan factories, which literally you could daven in different places. You could have multiple minyan factories in the same community. So like there, yeah, in those situations, it's a little harder to like associate everybody connected with the Siyum. You know, you daven there, Erev Pesach, I don't know, not so simple. I remember a few years ago, we had a Shiloh, but I thought it worked. We thought it worked. You know, the yeshiva was in Eretz Yisrael for the summer's man. And my young bar mitzvah bacher, my son Mordechai, was learning over the summer. He was in Eretz Yisrael. What else could he do besides go to, you know, the hang out with his friends and go to the bakery down the block? He spent some time. They spent some time learning. So Baruch Hashem, he was able to make a Siyum. So the question was, could his Siyum count for the whole Beis Medrash, for the Beis Medrash to have a fleishlik dinner? So he felt Mordechai was my sidekick. He was in yeshiva more than probably some other guys in yeshiva that summer. That's a shvach of my son. So, yeah, 100%. His Siyum was considered a celebration of the whole yeshiva. Yeshiva's mascot, sure. 100%. But, yeah, where exactly you draw the line, you know, it's not so simple. Somebody you really have no connection with to invite for a Siyum and take part in a Siyum, it's really not so simple. Yeah, ideally one should learn at a normal pace, and whenever you finish, that's when you make a Siyum. That's the ideal. You shouldn't speed up necessarily to get to somewhere. Now sometimes you have a goal. Let's say your goal is a yahrzeit of somebody. So, okay, you know, people procrastinate. Sometimes you do have to hurry up a little bit to get there. But like all learning, we'll get to that in a moment, talk about that more. You know, it should really be a celebration of the learning itself. So try to get there. You know, I saw one of the Mefarshim explain, why can't one have, you know, a, by these Siyums? You know, what's wrong if you do it during the 9 days, you know, just to have a Siyum? So, one of the Mefarshim explained, because then really what you're doing is not celebrating the Torah, you're celebrating the meat. Right? What are you doing the Siyum for? First and foremost, it should be a celebration of Limud HaTorah. Because I'm celebrating Limud HaTorah, you know, really the best thing to do for a Siyum, first of all, it should be a Suda. It should have, you should wash, you should sit down. Ideally, a Suda, a Yontif, that's meat, that's wine. Yeah? I remember it was a beautiful thing when we were in Eretz Yisrael. It's actually one of the Talmidim in the Yeshiva actually made a Siyum on the Masechta we were learning. And we were able to get in to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, which is not so easy. But one of the ways that helped us get in, we had to get some protexia, but was, I mean, yes, the person who was giving us protexia asked, is anybody in yeshiva making a Siyum? So I'm like, oh, there's one guy in yeshiva, Taka. He's a great, Reb Chaim loves Siyums. So like, the Talmud in yeshiva actually sat there and made a Siyum by Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Amazing, amazing sight. And we asked him a few shilohs about it. Fact, I heard it from my own ears. Some of the stuff I saw printed up was not exactly what we heard from him. You know, by this Siyum during the 9 days, he matred the whole yeshiva to have meat. Also, you know, what happened was we were in Bnei Brak that day. We didn't end up having the actual Siyum to that night. But also, Reb Chaim was okay with that. And, you know, there's really an inyan by a siyum to have ideally meat and wine. So he said, for the meat, everybody could have, but the wine, only the Messiah. This is during the 9 days. So that he only allowed the person making the siyum to have the wine, but the meat, he felt that it could be more makel to everyone to be part of. Very interesting. Part of the trick was, Rav Chaim has these his famous wine for a siyum. Every year he makes a siyum on Kol Torah Kula for the siyum b'chorim. That's a legitimate siyum. So he usually has wine, and his wine is like, you know, special bracha wine. So we were figuring, oh, we brought with a bottle of wine. Okay, you know, maybe Rav Chaim will, you know, have some wine and make it, you know, special bracha wine. But he wouldn't have any wine. He felt only the Messiah could have, not everybody else. Now, you know, also people sometimes buy a siyum, and, you know, depends how much they set up for, what the spread is. So especially this comes up by a siyum b'charim, right? If you're a b'char, that means first and foremost, you have to participate in the siyum. Pashup shad, for you to be exempt from fasting that day, you have to be there live at the siyum. People post can talk about hearing one Torah anytime. That doesn't really work. You have to be there live, right? Live stream too. I don't know. That. Don't think that works. Sorry. But you have to be there as part of the siyum, celebrating together. You also, pashtus, we'll see, have to eat. In fact, on the back of your sheets, I have here Moshe Sternbach, in the first volume of his Shalos HaTshuvos, brings from the River of Ephraim. Just spoke about him in Yeshiva the other day. Ephraim Greenblatt, Zatzal, Chashav Aposek, Talmud of Moshe. Actually learned the Chavetz Chaim way back when. And he holds that just being at a siyum, even if one didn't eat, that would exempt one from a siyum. And he would say, if you add a siyum, then you could go home later and eat. But Rav Sternbach is of the opinion, not so. That the only way to be considered part of the siyum is not just to be there for the siyum, but you also have to eat something. Rav Sternbach actually, in the earlier piece here, gives a share. He says you have to eat, it's got to be more than a kezayis, maybe a little bit less than a kebeah, or drink molly lugma of yain. You have to actually have something somewhat substantial. And sometimes you have these siyums, you know, everybody who's in the shul comes and eat. And the guy who's, some guy who's bechor didn't get anything. That's a poshut. Tricky situation. Yes?
Isn't that the same by a chasana, the chasana has to be called a suda?
Okay,
I read a tshuva recently where he was having some, like, stomach problems or something, and he kind of ducked out, and there was a question whether he could say shavu brachos.
Interesting, right. You bring up the halachos of shavu brachos, and for the participants to eat and be involved, yeah. Yeah, you always have to know how much you have to eat. You know, Judaism is about eating, but it's not just about eating. It's also how much do I have to eat? How quick do I have to eat? Everything has halachos. So these are basic concepts of, okay, if I want to participate in the siyum. Now, these are the siyums which probably one is most medactic in, right? If you're having a siyum to exempt one from fasting, by Yahrzeit or by Siyum B'chorim, you better make sure that Siyum is a correct Siyum. And your participation has to be full participation. You got to be there. Can't just walk in. Sometimes you have people walk in right after the Siyum's finished. Not so simple, right? I'm here for the food. you missed the first part, right? Huadin, you know, people should try ideally to eat by the Siyum, to have something by the Siyum. This way you, also, that's part of joining. And once someone eats by the siyum, then they could eat the rest of the day. So I saw someone critique that in camp sometimes, so one guy makes a siyum, and all the other guys, oh, I'm not having camp food. We're going out and having a barbecue. Then you can't have fleishiks. You have to participate at the suda of the siyum. You can't just, I'm going to take the siyum and that's a carte blanche heter for me to go make a barbecue, go out to Dougie's in Woodburn. No, that's not how it works. The heter is from the suda that you're having. That's where it's at. Now, what qualifies for a siyum? This is a very important topic. What qualifies for a siyum? So, found multiple versions talk about, let's start with chumash. If a person goes through the entire chumash with a perish, right? Now, in general, we make a siyum on Simchas Torah. That's a general siyum of the Jewish world. That's really the biggest Jewish learning event of the year, is Simchas Torah. That everyone goes through all the parshios. That is a siyum, really, even if one, ideally, one should do Shnayim Mikra, but it's a siyum just in general of Torah. But a person himself, let's say one goes through the entire Chumash with Ramban, or Sforno, goes through with the Chash of a Perish, so one can make a siyum on that, post can bring down, that qualifies as a siyum. Let's say somebody likes Nach. If one goes through a Sefer of Nach, but learned with a Perish, if one goes through Nach with a Perish, one could make a siyum on that. You go through Sefer Yehoshua well with a Perish, that's something to celebrate. You can make a siyum on that. Mishnayos. So here there's debates, but for the most part, what's accepted is in order to make a real siyum. Now, sometimes by schools, you know, you have a kid, you know, the yeshiva finishes Maseches Sukkah, right? And your class finishes Sukkah, and your Rebbe takes you out. It's a nice thing, but it's not a real siyum, right? You know, they finish a parak in Gemara, so the Rebbe, oh, the guy said, Rebbe, we gotta go out for a siyum. Okay, you want to go out to eat, call it kavod. But that's not, obviously, a real siyum. A real siyum for Mishnayos does need to be one full Seder. And we'll see the Nafkamin as it comes up. You know, people like making a siyum for a shloshim, for a yurtzeit. So ideally, what one should do is try to get enough people to have, or do enough, to finish one Seder. Whether it's Moed, Nashim, Nezikim, one full of the Sisha Sidrei Mishnah, one full column of Mishnayos, of multiple Masechtas, that qualifies as Siyum Mishnayos. Gemara, any Masechta, including there are quite a few shorter Masechtas out there, those also qualify. You learn through the Gemara, again, Pashtas with a Perush, with understanding, and one could make a siyum on that Masechta. So these are all formal ways to make a siyum. What has popped up, now in general, it actually comes up for Mishnayos a lot, is that one person doesn't make a siyum. You have what you call these joint siyums. What do we say about joint siyums? Does that count? Because if you go through it, no one person, let's go by Mishnayos, right? You classically have in the house of an oval, you'll have a Mishnayos sign-up sheet. Nowadays, it's online. Everything's digital. And you click on, yeah, no one person usually did one Seder. Usually, you have multiple people pieced together, piecemeal. You have a Seder. You could have the whole Shisha Seder Mishnah. So does that work? Now, I'll first say, first and foremost, that concept of people joining together, each doing a Masechta for a Yortzeit, for a Suda, that has been going on in the Jewish world. I don't know how long, but definitely a while. You go back to Europe, there's Chevra, Shasas, yeah, people pitched in, joined together. Nowadays, it's blowing up even more and more. You have places that'll make, ooh, we have 500 kids, 500 people in this room. Okay, everyone's going to take a daf, and we're going to have a shasathon. We're going to finish shas today. Today, we're going to finish shas. Just so one institution was proud of the fact we went through entire Shisha Sidrei Mishnah in less than an hour. Oh, wow. Right? Everyone will take a couple of Mishnais, boom. They mamash make a lavish dinner. Halachically, this is not so pashut. That may not be a siyum. What I think particularly is tricky is you're downgrading the whole accomplishment of what a siyum is. You're celebrating something which is a little bit fake. In fact, I found in the bottom of the sheets, Rabbi Yoshev in the Sefer Ashrei HaIsh, he writes, Kama noshim ha-masayim b'yachat shas, al-yidei chalukas ha-masachtos, bin kol lomdim, ein ze siyum ha-shas, de siyum hu sha-odom echad gomer es kol masachto ha-shas. You know what you need for a siyum? One person to have that accomplishment. That's what a siyum is. What these joint things is, Rabbi Yoshev says, it's not a siyum. And practically speaking, right? I spoke this over with one of the posik. I asked, like, what's pshat? People are constantly doing these joint things, even for yartzeis or shloshims. So he said, look, for a yartzeis and a shloshim, the same thing. You know, a Rebbe wants to take out his class because they finished a perek. So they go out to the restaurant. You know, what's wrong with that? Okay, that may not be the ideal of a siyum, but okay, it happens if they say a kaddish. Yeah. He says the real area where it's tricky is by a siyum b'chorim, let's say, or during the 9 days. You will not find the Neis Daiti poskim that will allow a joint siyum for a siyum b'chorim. If you're going to make a siyum b'chorim, it's got to be one person with a real accomplishment. If you're going to make a siyum to eat in the 9 days, it's the most dangerous thing in the world. You get everybody in camp. Everyone will learn one block Gemara. Okay, every night, you could be having, you know, sudas for siyums, you know, three times a day, eating fleishiks during 9 days. Because everyone learns, you know, one little piece of Gemara, and everyone together, oh, that's a siyum. That's silly. That's not a siyum.
So the restaurant's out.
The restaurants, forget it all. I thought the restaurants were long gone. Yeah. The restaurants, the reason why restaurants are bad, because you have no shaykhus at a restaurant.
I'm not the one that advertises.
Yeah, you have no shaykhus to the person making the siyum. You're just a paying customer. I go to this restaurant every Sunday night. Shkach, does that guy come every Sunday night? Is he your friend? Would he invite you to a siyum? So the restaurants, for sure. But the concept of a joint siyum, it's becoming more and more popular. But in terms of what a siyum is, that's not a siyum. Important, you know, Judaism doesn't get watered down, you know, too much.
So this concept with the mishnayos,
yeah,
the joint mishnayos, is it in any way similar to like Sefer Tehillim for refuah?
Interesting. It's a very good question you bring up. You bring up Sefer Tehillim for refuah. I actually brought that up with the posik too. You know, you have people that you know, Baruch Hashem. You know, it's a wonderful thing that people do this. As a schus or someone who's sick, people divide up Sefer Tehillim to say on their behalf. And there are WhatsApp groups and, you know, online forums. Everyone can sign up and do it. So I asked, wouldn't it be better for one person to go through, especially if you're doing it for someone who's sick, let's say, over a month? Wouldn't it be better for one person to go through over a month? You could go through the whole Sefer. So wouldn't it be better for you to go through the whole Sefer over a month versus you going through the same 10 prakim every night for a month? Because that way, it's your legitimate siyum. You went through the whole sefer. So the poskim told me, you're right, but practically this is a way to do it, and people may not do it otherwise, so this is a way of arranging it. But in terms of a siyum, the real siyum, let's not get confused with the fluff. The real siyum is a one person going through something and completing it. These joint things are wonderful things, you know, and I believe the siyum mishnayos for yartzeis has been going on for a while. So that's okay. Yeah, look, if one person could do a whole seder, that's matov manayim, it's even better. But, you know, to think that all these kids finish shisa seder mishnah in less than an hour, that's not really a siyum. Yes?
Is there a minimum amount that you have to learn to qualify as a siyum? I can't help but think of Rabbi Shapiro tells a story of a son who learned with his father who completed a daf
I'll get to that.
Great.
Excellent. The simple concept is, simple concept, and that I'll perhaps talk about that story. The simple concept is, yeah, you have to finish a sefer. So by, you have to finish Chumash, you have to finish a sefer Nach, you have to finish a whole Seder of Mishnayos, a whole Masecht of Gemara. That's what you have to do. There might be certain exceptions, but for the most part, that's the normal scene. That's the accomplishment that we're celebrating. Now, I'll tell you this. You're not going to believe me this about this I'm about to say, but I have it in print. I bought a sefer last time I was in Eretz Yisrael called V'Hayir Einenu. It brings down this story from, this was said over by the Rosh Hashiva of the Slabodka Yeshiva, Rav Dov Landau, Bnei Brak, and he was quoting an earlier sefer. You know, there are stories, you know, nowadays, a lot of people, you ask them, oh, you're going to the Sima Shas. What number seam is this? So boy, you know, people have purple hearts, you know, all lined up. This is my fifth seam, my tenth seam. Oh, I started learning when I was a young little schnook in high school. Oh, boy. I did a lot. Yeah. So this is in print. I can show this to you. The Beit Yosef, right? The Machaber, the Shulchan Aruch, right? We rely on him, no? Quite reliable. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch. Now, you can imagine what type of mastery of Kol HaTorah did the Beis Yosef have to write the Shulchan Aruch. Beis Yosef. Well, how many times did he finish Shas? To write the Shulchan Aruch? I'm sure he finished it every single year, but more than that, this chazer, this, that. I don't know. You know, we start betting on how many times the Beis Yosef went through Shas. I'm sure we'd be blown away the numbers. But it's in print, the Beis Yosef said, and it wasn't else humility, he said it straight. He said, I've gone through Shas, Baruch Hashem, three times. Three times. What does that mean? That means the way he went through Shas was not at the speed, faster than the speed of light. It wasn't, you know, listening to it on fast forward. He went through it methodically, clearly understood it. So he went through Shas, the Beis Yosef went through Shas three times in his life. I have it in print. I'll show it to you. This actually was said over by the Rosh Yeshiva of Slabodka and Bnei Brak, making a point that people think they could just, you know, whiz through learning. It's not, the goal is not the end game. The goal is not the siyum. It's a wonderful motivation. Even during the 9 days, one can motivate oneself. Hey, if I make a siyum, I will be the toast of town. So let me try to learn to make a siyum during the 9 days. That's fine. Aruch HaShulchan says that beferish. But if all your goal is just the end, just like we said before, the goal of the siyum can't be the meat, can't be the suda, and the goal of the learning can't just be the end. How many blot till I get to the end? The goal has to be the learning itself. And mamela, over time, Be'ezus Hashem, with Hashem's help, you'll get there. You'll be able to make a siyum. Look, the Beis Yosef only finished Shas three times. Now, what happens at a seam itself? So if you look in the back of your sheets, I put down the Hadron. I actually made sure to find a print where it's pretty small, because really the Hadron is long enough it could fit on one side of the page. A lot of these Gemaras, it's decent print. There's a lot to say in the Hadron. It's a long piece. I didn't copy Art Scrolls because it's two pages. And you get there, you know, there's a debate, you know, different times. When do you make the siyum? Do you make it before the suda, after the suda? Definitely, if you make the siyum before, you finish them, you give a little speech, you finish the end of the last Gemara, right? Concept, you should do the last Gemara, the last Mishnah, the end of your learning, you should save for the siyum. Then you go, you learn that, and then you say this Hadron. This Hadron takes quite a bit. I heard a great line from Chaim Kreisworth. He He said, why is it that our Chazal made such a long hadron by a siyum? He says, I'll tell you why. Especially if one learns Daf Yomi. So he's going at a quick pace. So it's possible that by the next day, you've already forgot the Daf before. He says, so what are you going to do the last day? You're making a siyum. You still remember the Daf. So that's why Chazal put this long hadron. Because by the time you finish the hadron, you and everybody in the room forgot the last half too.
That's not a joke.
It's not a joke. But actually, you look here.
You make a siyum on the hadron because you forgot the hadron.
You can make a siyum on the hadron, right? Some people, their essence is to get to the hadron. So there's five parts to the hadron. You'll see the first part is, we'll see, you go through this Hadron Malach, whatever, Masechta, or you're learning. Then you have this Yehi Ratzon with all that Torah should be your main job in this world, and for Olam Haba. You go through the Papa family. People never forget that part. Then you have the Tefillah of Aharivna, that one says by Berachas HaTorah every morning, begging Hashem that your Torah should be sweet by you. Then the fourth paragraph is you give thanks, modem anachnu lefanecha, which is actually a tefillah that some say every day after they leave a Beis Medrash. And then finally is you have a yiratzon, another tefillah that just like I finished this mesechta, this point of learning, so too I should finish other things. So that's the format of the hadron. I'll quickly go through. But first, you say the first part of the Hadron, you say three times. Right? People sometimes get confused. Right? Just the first little part, one says three times. Why do you say three times? The most basic reason people give is it's a segula that you won't forget it. It fits very well with Rav Kreisworth's joke. You need all the segulas you can to make sure you don't forget it. Besides segulas, the biggest segula is called Chazara. You should review it. So that's the best way to make sure that you remember. So, but you say three times. The other points you have there, you know, everyone asks questions, you know, why do we go through the whole Papa family? Why are you Papa? Why are you Papa? So I saw, like, this Sefer has, like, pages and pages darshaning why you go through all the Papas. You know, two of the pshatim I saw, one, is they're lauding this family that Baruch Hashem had generations and people involved in learning, and that's something to magnify, something to focus on. Somebody else said that, no, the Papa family is Baruch Hashem, a well-to-do family, and they always celebrated Siyums in a grandiose fashion. Right? That would mean, I guess, the Agudas Siyum HaShas, so I'll list all the Rechnitz family, you know, and on and on. Cute. But after that, we have these special tefillahs. And when a person finishes learning, so that itself is a tremendous time that Baruch Hashem, you got Siyat Deshmaya, you got divine assistance, that you made it to finish it. So it's a great time, it's an appropriate time to daven for more success in learning. Please, Hashem. I remember this vividly. I was by multiple seams in yeshiva where my Rebbe Reb Henoch Leibowitz was there. And he had this very interesting minhag. I saw him multiple times. That when someone would make a siyum and recite the hadron, he would quietly repeat word for word of this hadron with the person finishing. And I asked him what was pshat. So he said to us, a line that, oh, this is the way they used to do it. People used to actually recite word for word. Very interesting. You don't see that. You look around. It's only the person making the siyum that recites his hadron. But Reb Henoch would repeat quietly, whisper word for word together with the person siyum. For sure, I hear it by siyum b'charim or something like that, where you yourself really need to be part of the siyum. And especially, I thought it was based on that marsha, that when one person makes a siyum, everyone has a chiluk in it. Everyone has a part of it. So if everyone has a part in it, Yeah. So it's also your siyum. You should also recite word for word that hadron. Now let me get to a couple practical things, and then I'll summarize a couple stories. The siyum hashas, it's a big inyan. How big of an inyan is it? I believe the Gdolim, members of the Moetzes Gdolei Torah, debated, should yeshivas stop regular days of yeshiva, give off, for their students, especially in the New York area, to go to the siyum? And one of the younger Rosh Yeshivas, present at this meeting, volunteered that, look, I plan on giving shir that morning. I'll give you shir. We'll finish shir, I'll say 1 o'clock. And we'll go 1 o'clock. The siyum is actually called for 1. Okay, so we'll get there late. It'll be part of it, but we won't, you know, give up our morning in yeshiva. So Rav David Feinstein, Shlita, was at the meeting. David Feinstein, anyone knows him, is quite quiet, doesn't talk much. But he spoke up. He's like, no. I think every yeshiva should be going to the siyum. Every yeshiva in New York, and you should shut yeshiva, and you should take the talmidim to go, not after yeshiva, but during yeshiva, because of Kavod HaTorah. And in fact, I have down here that my Rebbe in Chedushei Aleiv proves this concept that Kavod HaTorah is greater than actually Limud HaTorah. And there are times that the right thing to do is to shut one's Gemara, to go, you're going to celebrate, it's Kavod HaTorah. Look how many people are involved in a wonderful thing, learning Daf Yomi on a daily basis, day in and day out, snow or sleet, early in the mornings, many people with busy professional schedules. The fact that the Koveitim LaTorah, you have all these Gedolim coming there to celebrate it, it's probably going to be one of the greatest gatherings of Rabbanim in history. How can you not be a part of that? That's Kavod HaTorah. 100% for people to go. I'll end with two stories, both famous. But one, this one, I remember watching this story while I was sitting there at last Yom HaShas. They played it on the Jumbotron. That's a good instant replay. They showed Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel of the Mir Zatzal, where everyone knows was ravaged with Parkinson's disease. One time he spoke at a Siyum HaShas. He gave a very short speech, but he said it with so much emotion. He says, what are the words you say at the end when you make a Siyum? Hadron Allah. I will return to you. He says, those are two of the most beautiful words that one ever has when it comes to learning. The connection that a person has to learning, that you feel so connected. I learned this Masechta. It's a part of me. This Gemara in me. It never left my side. The connection that a person develops with Hashem, with Torah, with Abaye and Rava, with his Gemara, is such a beautiful connection. It's like a husband parting from his wife. I'll return to you. I'm going to come back. Just going for a little bit. Those are the beautiful words that one recites when they make a siyum. And it's a beautiful expression of the love and connection that Klal Yisrael has of learning. We should all be zocher in our own lives, whatever it can. You know, as mentioned before, you know, if Moshe once had a person who never learned Torah, never learned Gemara, and he worked and worked and worked with his son over years, finally completed one block Gemara. Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskin, that person could make a siyum after one block. Obviously, that's not the normative. But for that person, it's such an accomplishment, it should be recognized. He should make a siyum after that one block. And unfortunately, that person made the siyum, and the next day he passed away. I remember my friend thundering by the last siyum HaShas. Yesh kona olomo b'sho'achas, yesh kona olomo b'daf'achas. You never know what takes for a person to be kona olam haba. That guy, look, he couldn't do a whole masechta, but he was kona his olam haba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates the effort, the work that one puts in. It doesn't have to be a grandiose Kol HaTorah Kula. Whatever one can do, consistent learning on a daily basis, anything is a big, big accomplishment. We should all be zocha to Hag the Torah V'Yader, to grow in our learning. step by step. Thank you very much for listening.